Podcast. I'm your host, your one and only host, Tim Miller. And today, it is Sunday, February 22nd, 2026. And I wish you a very, very, very happy single tasking day. Well, I tell you what, after watching Ohio State lose to Michigan State today, I can tell you one person who was single tasking, and that was Bruce Thornton. Bruce Thornton was doing all the scoring. He was the heartbeat of Ohio State today in a losing effort. And while Bruce Thornton was the only one producing, he was the only person today handling any tasks for the Buckeyes. It's a losing effort for Ohio State, but it absolutely is not because of what Bruce Thornton did today. Devin Royal doesn't play. John Mobley Jr. does not play again. Did not expect John Mobley Jr. to play whatsoever. Devin Royal, by the way, it's easy to be misled when people talk with so much confidence. Let's get this out of the way right now. Devin Royal was never declared out. I'll give you a peek behind the curtain on how this works, okay? 3 hours before the game, and that's why you see a tweet from me, 3 hours before every game, the Big Ten releases an availability report. Any Big Ten team playing has to submit an availability report before the game. That means Ohio State does it every single game, even in non-conference. That's how we know what's going on with Ohio State injury-wise. So Devin Royal questionable, Omari Bynum questionable. That's why you get the tweets that you do for me. That's the last time that we get any information about availability of players. So if you ever see anyone saying that a player has been declared out or that they will play like 15 minutes before a game, it's not accurate. There's nothing official that's being reported unless you get it from the team or Adam Jardy. Just it's guessing. Okay. So that's why I made it clear before the game, Devin Royal not declared out. He never was declared out in this game, but it's easy. It's easy to be misled. That's how this works. I just want to give you a peek behind the curtain there. Look, minute by minute, as you watch this game, you think about, man, it would be really helpful if Ohio State had Devin Royal in the final 4 minutes of the first half, how crucial those minutes were, and the final 8 seconds of the first half when Ohio State needed to get a bucket after a timeout. You knew you needed a guy like Devin Royal out there, especially after the game he had against Wisconsin. Devin Royal sorely missed in this one. Omari Bynum plays, doesn't do much. We'll recap this game in its entirety. Before we get into it, of course, follow on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. We're doing a great job growing the subscription number. I still know that barely, but it's true, barely more than, let's rephrase the sentence because I'm already lost. More people who watch a show on YouTube are unsubscribed than are subscribed to the Views from the Shop podcast. So let's try to fix that one day at a time. So please subscribe on YouTube to the Views from the Shop podcast, like the video as well, and give a 5-star review on podcast. Can't let the Nut House win. So Ohio State loses this game 66-60 to Michigan State. It was a valiant effort. Ohio State fought hard. In the end, the result, not what you wanted. So we'll go through key stats. We'll go through my major takeaways for this game for a full game breakdown. Ohio State lost this game to Michigan State for a couple of very key reasons. And as we look at the key stats in this one, the one that jumps out to me more than any, and I've got several here, but the first one that I look at is Bruce Thornton. And Bruce Thornton is not the reason Ohio State lost this game. Everyone not named Bruce Thornton who wore a scarlet uniform today is kind of the reason Ohio State did not win this game. Bruce Thornton was responsible for 53% of points for Ohio State in this game. He scored 32 points. He goes 12 of 22 from the field. Did a great job all in all for Ohio State in this game. He scored. He scored at will. He accepted the role of, I'm going to take all the shots. And not only am I going to take all the shots in this game, but on top of that, I'm going to deal with the pressure. I'm going to deal with getting into the paint and mucking it up against a very good front court in Michigan State. And I'm going to take the brunt of it. Possession after possession, I'm going to try to lead. And you saw a lot of this in the first half, especially where Thornton would get a lot of attention early from Michigan State's defense. And then from there, what we saw was Thornton finding open guys. Now, sometimes that led to assists. Obviously, he only had 2 assists in this game. Sometimes it just led to open guys who couldn't score at times. But Bruce Thornton is absolutely not the reason Ohio State lost in this game. He scores 32 points. He was really, really good for the Buckeyes in this one. However, as we look at how this game unfolded and we look at everyone who is not Bruce Thornton for Ohio State, I think that's where you point the figures as to why Ohio State lost this game. Look, Bruce Thornton scoring 32 points, probably what you should expect when you don't have John Mobley Jr.'s 15 points per game and Devin Royal's 14 points per game in this one. But I got questions here. Where was Amari Bynum? I get he was questionable for this game. Look, I don't know the official reason why Bynum was out, why Devin Royal was out, or why Bynum was questionable. I know some things that Devin Royal has been dealing with this year. I don't know if that's new. I know that there's some rumors of illness. Maybe Jake Diebler talked about it after the game. What I can say, and I've said on the show, illness has really ravaged this team for weeks now at this point. Once someone gets fully healthy, a new player catches something, and that hurts this team's depth that's already very, very thin for a second straight season. So the depth did not help Ohio State in this one. The Buckeyes obviously struggled in this one. But as you look at how Ohio State played outside of Bruce Thornton in this game, Amari Bynum is one I look at. 0-5 from the field. He scores 0 points for Ohio State. Missed both of his attempts from the three-point line. It seems like he does get really uncomfortable when he faces those highly strong, highly physical types of defensive front courts. That's what Bynum got in this one. But look, he's averaging 9.4 points per game over his last 10 points. You need more from Amari Bynum in this one. Again, I know he's questionable, probably maybe dealing with illness, but you needed something out of him today. Something more than 0 points, especially without John Mobley Jr. and Devin Royal in this game. I thought Christoph Tilly had some nice moments in this one. He made some really difficult shots. He finishes with 10 points in this game, 5 of 6 from the field. So overall, not a bad effort from Christoph Tilly. Didn't feel like he got moved off his spot quite as often, or when he did get moved off his spot, he found a way to still score for Ohio State. But look, Christoph Tilly, if you're watching on YouTube, you see all the stats for Ohio State. Your second leading scorer was Christoph Tilly. Good luck. Christoph Tilly scoring 10 points. If Christoph Tilly scores 17 points, you got a chance. And actually, if he scored 17 points in this game, theoretically, you win 67-66. But when your second leading scorer scores 10 points in a game, you probably don't have any business winning any games when that is the case. You look at Tayson Chapman. He had 5 points. He was 1 of 5 from deep in this game. He's now had 4, 11, and 5 points for Ohio State in 3 starts in place of John Mobley Jr. Look, the absence of John Mobley Jr. and the gap that he leaves, Tayson Chapman's not been able to fill it. He's been very, very good off the bench. I don't want to take away from him there. But all in all, Tayson Chapman has not been good enough for Ohio State offensively to fill the void that John Mobley Jr. has left with the finger injury. You need more from Tayson Chapman in this game. Again, especially without your second and third leading scorer. Tayson Chapman scores 12 points in this game. He wins 72-66. Is it out of the realm of possibility for Tayson Chapman to score 12 points as a starting shooting guard for Ohio State at this point? I would hope not, but so far the most he scored in the game as a starter is 11. So you needed more from Tayson Chapman in this game. And then overall, the three-point shooting, the Buckeyes go 4 of 22 from the three-point line in this game. Again, you can call out so many different stats from this game. You can call out so many different players. Too many instances of when X, Y, Z happens, you're going to lose. And X happened and Y and Z and all the other letters of the alphabet might as well happen as well for Ohio State in this one. Big reason why they lose this game is everyone other than Bruce Thornton offensively. Bruce Thornton could not get any help. Another reason the Buckeyes struggled in this one and ended up losing, they go 10 of 17 from the free throw line. Now, Ohio State has been a good free throw shooting team so far this year. I think the broadcast did a good job of shedding light on that fact. But in this one, Ohio State was not good enough. Christoph Tilly, that miss at the end really, really hurt. I think Ohio State could have got the game to 4 points and you feel like you got a fighter's chance. But when you make a layup and you get fouled, and then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, oh, we're actually still in this game, Ohio State would say. And then you miss the free throw. I think that hurts so much momentum when you needed every single point you could have gotten down the stretch. I think that hurt. He goes 0-3 from the free throw line in this one. Colin White for Ohio State, he goes 0-2 from the free throw line in this one. Bruce Thornton, by the way, 6 of 8, that's 75%. That's below his season average. So even Bruce Thornton wasn't his normal self from the free throw line, but I'm not at all giving any blame to Bruce Thornton in this game. Meanwhile, On the flip side, Michigan State, 18 of 25 from the free throw line in this game. Obviously, Michigan State was really, really good in this game overall shooting from the free throw line. They got to the free throw line a lot. I know Ohio State fans, it's what you do, whether it be Big Ten play or elsewhere. You're going to complain when the other team gets more free throws. You're going to complain when the other team has less fouls called on them. I get the frustration in that regard, but look, you're not going to beat a team who is better than you, healthier than you, deeper than you, playing on its home court where they've been elite this season when you're shooting at 59% from the free throw line. It's not going to work. You're not going to win games when that is the case. So that's a big reason why Ohio State lost this game as well. Another key stat in this one, Ohio State out-rebounded in this game 43 to 26. For those scoring at home, that's minus 19 on the glass minus 17 on the glass for Ohio State. That's the worst rebounding margin in a game so far this year. We've talked enough about Ohio State's rebounding. It wasn't that bad in the non-conference when the schedule was just a little bit lighter. But then Ohio State goes into Big Ten play and they play teams that are as big or bigger than them. And they play teams that are as physical or usually more physical than them. And they get crushed on the glass. Against Virginia, they were minus 15. Against Michigan in that home loss, they were minus 16. These past few games have not been good rebounding wise for Ohio State. I will give Christoph Tilly credit. He wasn't bad at all overall today at all. I already said that. He had 8 rebounds in this game along with his 10 points. Bruce Thornton only had 4 rebounds. Any non-Ohio State fan, even some casual Ohio State fans would say, why are you complaining about your starting point guard getting 4 rebounds when he scored 32 points? And well, at Ohio State, you need more than that because you get no help rebounding outside of that. Puff Johnson did not have a single rebound in this game in 20 minutes of play. He did contribute 4 fouls. Thanks for that, Puff. And without Devin Royals, 5.6 rebounds per game, which leads the team, by the way. You combine that with playing the best rebounding team in the nation, you're gonna have some troubles winning a game. Carson Cooper, Jackson Kohler, each of those players go for 10-plus rebounds in this game. So you got crushed on the glass. And again, you lost by 6 points. It's not like this game is out of reach. It's not like you got crushed, but when you rebound that poorly, how are you going to win a game? Especially against Michigan State. You didn't really have much of a shot, I guess I would say. Michigan State, as we piggyback off of rebounding, as we always do, the Spartans score 16 second chance points in this game. 15 offensive rebounds allowed by Ohio State. The Buckeyes just were not good enough on the glass. On the defensive glass, they were not good enough as well. This is how Michigan State stayed in it early, and it's how Michigan State then decides to go on and pull away in this game late. You had 5 players. 5 Michigan State players had 2 or more offensive rebounds in this game. Season long, Ohio State's best offensive rebounder is averaging 1.6 offensive rebounds per game for Ohio State. You had 5 players out rebound on the offensive glass. Ohio State's best offensive rebounder season long. That's Devin Royal, by the way, who didn't play. But regardless, it's not an excuse. You can have 5 players do better than your best offensive rebounder in a game. It does not work. It does not work. You're not going to win the game when that's the case. Ohio State was not good enough on the glass. It was not good enough on the offensive glass. They score 16 second chance points. If you cut that in half, just go down to 8. Ohio State wins this game. The Buckeyes were tough. I don't want to take anything away from them overall in this game. They played their hearts out in this game. You could see it. But the rebounding effort, maybe not even the effort, the rebounding production, it was not there for Ohio State in this one. Last stat, Michigan State scored 9 fast break points. If you listen to the preview episode, I talked about this. I talked about how good Michigan State is in transition. They love to get out and run. They love to score on the fast break. They love to get their assists. They love to move the ball and find open guys. It's either a drive and kick 3, or sometimes you use the spacing to find an open guy. He's able to drive and make a layup, whatever the case may be. Cohen Carr dunking all over the place. Whatever. That's what Michigan State loves to do. Ohio State did well here against the Spartans. Michigan State came into the game number two in the nation in percentage of points off of the fast break. So far this season, you didn't see Cohen Carr really running and flying through the air for dunks in transition in this game. He had one early. That was it. That wasn't even in transition. Jeremy Fears, exact same case there. Of course, he kicked Amari Bynum in the family jewels, the magic marbles, whatever you'd like to call them. Some would just say testes. And that hurt. And, nothing egregious there, the officials say, because Jeremy Fears Jr., we all know, has a clean history. So to assume that he would have done anything that is unsatisfactory on a basketball floor against Ohio State, no shot, right? No shot. Anyways, Ohio State was okay on Jeremy Fears, by the way. Overall, it was a really solid performance from Ohio State defensively, keeping Michigan State from gaining steam off misses and turning fast breaks into points. They had six turnovers in this game. Did Ohio State? That's it. Just six turnovers, and only two were steals. So we had four dead ball turnovers there on Ohio State. So that was great from the Buckeyes. They played really, really well on fast break opportunities defensively in this one. This is what I said coming in the game, was that if you could stop Michigan State from getting those easy buckets, you were going to have a good shot to be in this game with 4 minutes left. And they did. And they were in this game with 4 minutes left. They were in this game with, 11 seconds left? Not able to get the job done. But great job defensively from Ohio State. And even as you look at just the box score in general, I mean, how many of these numbers really stand out to you on Michigan State side? Jeremy Fears, 11 points. He has 8 assists. That's below his season average. We'll take that. Carson Cooper really took off in this game. He played really, really well. But outside of that, Jackson Kohler, he fouls out. He goes for 9 and 10. Cohen Carr only had 5 points. Michigan State didn't do a lot off the bench in this game. So it's not like there were a lot of numbers overall for Michigan State offensively that were all that impressive. It was just a tale of two halves in this game, which we'll get to here later on the show as we get into takeaways. But all in all, Ohio State loses this game 66-60, a couple of key stats there that led to the outcome in this game and lead to Ohio State losing.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight. Make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at WeightWatchers.com.
Now, for Ohio State, in this 66-60 loss to Michigan State, a tough one, a close one, and a game that we feel like we've seen happen 100 times before this season, unfortunately for Ohio State, I do have some pretty major takeaways in this one. My first takeaway, pause. Let me finish. Let me finish before you get to the comments. Let me finish before you shut it off. Just let me finish. Just this once. I'm not complaining about that effort from Ohio State. The result, sure, you can complain about losing to Michigan State. That's fine, especially with how the game went. But coming into the game, Amari Bynum, questionable. Devin Royal, questionable. Dresses, does not play. No John Mobley Jr. Again, Brandon Knoll, nowhere close to coming back for Ohio State. This team not deep whatsoever. And you're going to go into Michigan State and, again, you close as a 10.5-point underdog. No one's giving you a shot. I didn't think they had a shot. You probably didn't think they had a shot. And yet, Ohio State, very quickly, you could feel the energy and just the want to that this team brought in this one, kind of bursting through the television screen as you watch. Did they get crushed on the glass? Yeah, they sure did. Did they run out of gas in the end? Well, I guess so. But I think an insider subscriber said it the best on Substack about one player in particular, which we'll talk about. We'll talk about all the other players as well. But he said Colin White gave everything he had. And that was after he got injured and left the game. And I know he's going to get hate because he's Colin White. And I get the multiple reasons why he gets hate. That's fine with me. I understand. You're good to have your opinion there. I can't necessarily disagree with anything. But Colin White is a player who came into this game. He played 25 minutes for Ohio State. Left the game briefly with an injury. He comes back in. He scored 3 points and he was 1-2 from the field. But if you're a casual observer of this game and you're not hate watching Colin White, what did you see from Colin White in this game? He pulls in 4 rebounds. Yeah, he has an assist. Yeah, he has foul troubles. But the ferocity that he played with for Ohio State in this one. His ability just to get after it, to hustle. There were a couple plays where Michigan State in transition, again, they were really, really good transition offense. There were a couple times when Colin White sprinted back and he stopped fast break opportunities from Michigan State. The effort you saw from him, obviously Bruce Thornton, he's going to empty the tank every game down the stretch here for Ohio State. Don't need to talk about that. I thought Christoph Tilly showed up, played pretty tough in this game for Ohio State. Gabe Cups, he made a nice layup for Ohio State. Just kind of scurried his way to the rim, makes a layup, runs back, got a weird technical foul. Who's involved? You know who. We know how that goes. But Gabe Cups, he made a tough layup. No real dip in play when Ivan Negavon was in. No real dip in play there. So, look, I think Ohio State overall, they really made life tough for Jeremy Fears Jr. I think they played tough overall, defensively, physically. I mean, you look at the halftime score. Well, it was 26-23 or up, and you led for more than 3 points for most of the first half. This was a team that if you would have come into this game and I would have told you, hey, Ohio State's going to be up 26-23 at halftime, you'd say, no freaking way. I don't believe you. So now I know we're upset about the loss. And again, before you say, I'm not congratulating Ohio State on a moral victory. No, I actually don't think that we need to hang a banner in this instance for Ohio State that says something along the lines of kept it close for 35 minutes at Michigan State when they were a top four seed in the fake bracket reveal a day ago that only exists for views. No, I don't think that we need to throw a parade for Ohio State and extend Jake Diebler. But I thought that the effort was encouraging from Ohio State, to say the least, in this one. No, I'm not here for the moral victories. But I mean, did you want them to lose 71-54? Would that have felt better? Would that have been more encouraging down the stretch? I don't think so. So Ohio State played tough. They played physical. They played strong defensively for a large part of this game until the second half game, and that was what it was. Look, another takeaway from this game, talking about a tale of two halves. At halftime, it was clear Ohio State was going to have to win this game through defense. If we just break down these numbers between the first half and second half, this is really all you need. You didn't need to watch a game. You just need to listen to these 3 minutes of the Views from the Shot podcast. Don't bother wasting 2.5 hours watching the game, right? So in the first half, Michigan State shoots below 30% from the field. They were 25% from deep. In this game was Michigan State. And then you look at their play from the free throw line. They made 5 free throws in this game, did Michigan State. And they scored 23 points, 8 pain points. I mean, where's the number there where you say, man, Michigan State was really good offensively in the first half? Oh, I would say dominated defensively in the first half. They made Michigan State look very uncomfortable, look dazed and confused, look really bad. Offensive rebounding was really the only thing that kept Michigan State in the game in the first half. And then you get to second half. After Ohio State gives up no easy buckets and 23 points in the first half, they would go on to allow 43 points in the second half, nearly getting doubled up. Michigan State from the field. From the first half, go below 30%. In the second half, they shot 50% from the field. They go 13 of 17 from the free throw line in the second half. They scored 18 paint points in the second half. Only 3 turnovers in the second half after 7 turnovers in the first half. Look, Carson Cooper, he really took over and gave Michigan State so much life in the second half. He scored 14 points in the second half. 14 of 20 come in the final 20 minutes of this game. Jordan Scott, kind of unsung hero of this game. He scored 7 second half points as well. Look, when you get crushed on the glass, you get less free throw attempts than the other team made at the free throw line. You make the same amount of threes with less efficiency. You shoot below 45% at the field in a game. And those are your offensive numbers. You're going to need the defense to step up. And Ohio State's defense stepped up for one half in the game. The second half, Michigan State took over. That's in large part how they win this game. So now, you look ahead for Ohio State. This is kind of my last takeaway here. And again, this is going to fire some people up, but it is what it is at this point. As you look at Ohio State's, their previous games for the Buckeyes, especially as you go back to that John Mobley Jr. injury. Since then, Ohio State against Virginia without John Mobley Jr., they lose that game by 4 points. Taysen Chapman gets his first career start for Ohio State, and then proceeds to score 0 points in the final 35 minutes and 7 seconds of the game. 0 points in the final 35 minutes and 7 seconds of the game. Devin Royal also has one of his worst performances, not just of the season, but in his career as a Buckeye in year 3 at Ohio State. 2 of 12 shooting, and he fouls out, scoring 4 total points. He led 59-53 with 9 minutes left in the game. Look, all I'm saying is that if Ohio State has John Mobley Jr. in that game, is he worth the 5-point swing that you would have needed to win this game in regulation compared to Tayson Chapman? And Virginia, by the way, let's look very, very quickly here. Let's look at where Virginia is in the net right now. They're 16th in the net and 24-3. That's a really good team. And then Ohio State, the next game, they destroy a team that we think is really good in Wisconsin. A Wisconsin team that is it's hitting its stride right now. As I'm recording, by the way, we've got a bowl game between Wisconsin and Iowa that's taking place. So let's see if I look stupid here or if I look smart. Wisconsin currently up 66-61 in the second half against Iowa. They win that game again. Wisconsin remains pretty hot, other than that loss that it took to Ohio State. Remember, they destroyed Michigan State, a team that Ohio State just lost to by 6 points. Now, speaking of that Michigan State game, Ohio State lost by 6 to a team fighting for a top 4 seed in the NCAA tournament on their own floor, by the way, where they are 31-7 at home in Big Ten play over their past 4 seasons without your second best scorer and best 3-point shooter and your third best scorer and best rebounder, your team-leading rebounder, and John Mobley Jr. and Devin Royal, respectively. You led for one less minute in this game, and you showed for really 40 minutes, but if you want to be a detractor, that's fine. What, 34, 35, 36 minutes you showed that you belong in the same floor as that Michigan State team that's 31-7 at home over your last 4 seasons in Big Ten play as Michigan State? I think a major takeaway I have from this game is, look, maybe Ohio State is catching fire at the right time. And I'm bracing for impact and I'm ducking because you're going to say, well, they're 2-2 over their last 4. Well, they've lost 2 of their last 3. I hear you. I get you. I'm not going to argue against that. But hey, Ohio State's situation has not changed. As we look at where this team needs to go from here, we know what the Buckeyes need to do. They're going to play at Iowa on Wednesday. You need to win that game. Okay, you kind of need to win that game. That's going to be a quad one game no matter what. And at Iowa, does it look better than versus Purdue? They'll both be quad one. I don't know which game technically looks better to the committee, but I can tell you winning at Iowa will be huge. Because, by the way, and I said this a couple weeks ago, now we're here. Ohio State's about to play Iowa. Iowa has played its way onto the bubble. It was seen as firmly in the NCAA tournament about a month ago or so at this point. Now they played their way onto the bubble. So Ohio State's got to play at Iowa. You're telling me that an Ohio State team that just destroyed Wisconsin and is now going to play an Iowa team that right now is losing to Wisconsin. I don't know if they'll win. Who knows? But you're telling me that's a game Ohio State can't win? What did Michigan State do when they played Iowa? Shall we look it up? So after that one, you kind of need to have it, but not fully. Then you play at home against Purdue. That's a game where if you don't beat Iowa, you need to win. You have got to win it. You're now getting close to must-win territory, or you're going to have to win some games in the Big Ten tournament. And then you got Penn State, which I think we all are pretty much concluding at this point. That should be a win for the Buckeyes. And then you get Indiana at home again. That's a 5:30 Saturday game. I mean, fans are going to be up for that one, I think. So Ohio State's going to have the opportunity here to still play its way into the NCAA tournament. And where Ohio State stands right now on the bubble, yeah, they don't have the quad one wins. But what they do have is they have a great wins above bubble metric. They have fantastic predictive metrics. So the committee will have to decide, are we going to hold this team out? Because the quad one, I mean, if they win some games down the stretch, they will have a quad one win, whether it be at Iowa or home against Purdue. They'll have a quad one win. So even if it is just one, where's West Virginia, by the way? Let's do some searching here. West Virginia, that's Virginia Tech, who's 50th. Can someone find me West Virginia on this page? They're sick. Okay. So West Virginia is 64. So that's freaking shot. What the crap is that? What is West Virginia doing falling those many freaking spots? They were just at 54th. That's stupid. Northwestern is 78th. Northwestern, man. Hey, you and I, if you want Ohio State in the NCAA tournament, we are the biggest Wildcat fans in the world. We're bigger Northwestern Wildcat fans than the Northwestern Wildcat fans are at this point. So that said, Ohio State still has a lot of work to do, but it has a lot of opportunity. You can still make the NCAA tournament. Maybe Ohio State, when they get John Mobley Jr. back, is this team good enough to make a little run here? Is what we've seen in the past couple games showing that? I don't know. And you can say, I know. People call me a sunshine pumper. I think if you've listened to the show long enough, you would know that's probably not the case for me. But, hey, I got to say what I see. And that is what I see. Alrighty. Buckeyes will play Iowa. You're going to get a show from me on Tuesday, previewing the Buckeyes and Hawkeyes game on Wednesday. Thanks so much for being here today. We're crossing our fingers. Every game, we get more data. We'll see if Ohio State can make the NCAA tournament. That is the goal at this point. That's where the program is right now, so that's the goal. We hope Ohio State can make the NCAA tournament. Thanks so much for being here today. Again, please like the video on YouTube. Please subscribe on YouTube as well. Give a 5-star review on the podcast. Until next time, I shut up before you shut me off. Go Bucks.